With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast. I'm Alison Perry, and you're listening to a bonus episode. Today's bonus episode is all about protecting yourself from being a victim of fraud and is brought to you in association with Take 5, a national awareness campaign led by Financial Fraud Action UK and backed by Her Majesty's Government. For this episode, I wanted to speak to someone who'd been a victim of a scam, so I asked mum of three and family travel blogger Katie Ellison to return to the podcast to share her experiences. Katie and her husband John were tricked out of thousands of pounds when they received a text message that they wrongly thought had been sent by their bank. Here's her story. Welcome back to the podcast, Katie.
Thank you.
You are becoming a bit of a regular, aren't
you? I know. Slightly different setting this time, though.
Yes, last time we were in Florida. We were in Orlando.
Now we're in my front room.
Yes, your front room in Cambridgeshire. It's a very nice front room,
thank
though.
You.
And you've got gorgeous pom-pom cushions.
Yeah.
And, well, you did make me take my shoes off at the front door.
Yes, always.
Which is very unlike my house, where it's really just tramping around.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, always. Only for this rug, really.
Oh, you've got a beautiful cream rug.
Yeah.
I can see why, looking at it. You wouldn't
want. And
it's
sunny today as well. So yeah. It's kind of like we're in Orlando, if we imagine it.
No, not really. Anyway, Katie, we're actually here to talk about something quite serious,
yes.
Aren't we? Unlike last time where we chatted about family travel. I wanted to chat to you a bit about your experience with fraud. Was it a couple of years ago that you were a victim to a text scam?
Yes, so it was... It was 2 years ago, the Christmas just gone, because it was just before Christmas. Apparently, that's actually quite a common time because people are off guard and they're so busy with all the like Christmas entails that actually you see quite a spike in cases like that.
And probably because they're spending money.
Yes, and they might not be as noticing things coming out of their bank account.
Spending large amounts maybe in places that they wouldn't shop in every day.
Yeah. So when we were on the phone to the bank a lot, they did actually say that it was quite a common time where they saw sort of more spikes in it, really.
So what happened with you guys?
So basically, it's a very, very long story, but John, one afternoon, I can sort of picture it as clear as day. It was kind of around that sort of busy time again when you're kind of trying to get the kids ready for bed. So it was about 5:30, 6:00. And I was sat in our little kind of upstairs office at the time in our old house. And he got a text through and he said, oh, I'm just going to ring the bank. So basically he got a text saying that he had made a transaction and was this correct? If it wasn't, to call the bank. And basically the transaction had been for... PC World. We'd bought a laptop about a month or so or 3 weeks before, and this transaction said it's for PC World, and it was about a £50 difference. So John was a little bit confused.
And was the text, did it come from a random number or did it come from the bank?
It came from, it was on the same thread, message thread, as some of the other messages that John had got from the bank, like the genuine messages. So they'd managed to get into the thread, and it said, it looked exactly the same as a normal message, and it just said, can you, if it's not correct, give us a call. So John gave them a call.
So was there a number in the
text?
Yes,
there was a number, and you can click on to the number in the text. And like I said, again, exactly the same as any other text. It looked identical. It was in the same thread. So he gave the number a call and he got through. It was exactly the same normal Santander hold music. It was just, you know, exactly the same, same kind of recognisable voice doing it. You still had to sort of input the same things to get through to different things.
So press one for this, press two for this.
Yeah, exactly. And so then he got through to somebody and again, nothing seemed out of order. You know how sometimes you can hear people in the background, like other people?
Like in a call centre.
Yes, yeah, and it sounded like that as well. And he got through to this really well-spoken man. Again, like, you know, nothing seemed, I don't know what, I don't know what criminals sound like, but he sounded, you know, like quite normal. And basically he was talking to John. And he said about whether there had been any unusual transactions. So he, first of all, again, he knew information about John. So he, I don't know exactly what information he knew, but he knew things, you know, from, you know, like he seemed to know stuff as well.
Information, yeah.
And so he basically, you know, you have to get through the kind of security. It was all the same thing. And the one mistake that John made in all of it was that he asked for two digits of the internet bank passcode. And it's really easy to say, oh no, like you never give out your internet bank passcode. Like, you know, you can give like two digits of your account number and that's okay. And it's really easy in hindsight to go, oh God, that was stupid. Like you'd never normally do that. But John was just a bit confused and it all seemed, you know, really above board. So he gave these two digits of, you know, like they ask you for the third and fourth digit or whatever.
Because when you log on to your bank, quite often that is what they ask for.
Exactly. So, you know, it is really easy to think, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. But when you're kind of in that situation and it all sounded above board. And, so he obviously knew other information because he was able to get, they were able to get into the account with just those two digits. Mm. So they must have known other information about us because obviously you need to have more information than just, you've got other things to get through.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was on the phone and he said to John, have you made this transaction? And John said no. And then he said to him, okay, well, we're just going to check this out. And while John was on the phone, he must have been on the phone for a good sort of half an hour or so. And while he was on the phone to him, the guy was saying, oh, you know, like, you should probably think about upgrading your account. Like, just the general stuff they talk about.
Yeah.
And then he even said, like, oh, so what are you getting your kids for Christmas? Which is just so awful, isn't it? Like, oh, what are you going to get your kids for Christmas? And, oh, it sounds like you're busy there because the kids were sort of running around in the background. John got a text through saying, do you confirm this £300 payment? To which, you know, he didn't do anything. By this point, he was starting to, I could tell because I was listening, thinking, what is he doing? And I could tell he was starting to think, what is going on? And he was going, why do you need this? So they said, oh, will you confirm? Like, he got a text saying, do you confirm this amount of £300? He didn't do a thing. And within a second, another text came through saying, thank you for confirming, or however they say it, the £300 payment. And straight away, John was like, this is not right. What is going on? So he made an excuse and said, can you call me back in 10 minutes? Like, someone's just, you know, at the door. So he got off the phone, logged on to our internet banking and saw that within a second this £300 payment had come through out, and then also this much, much larger, like, I don't mind saying what it was for, so it was pretty much for like all our savings, which was like that's £7,000 or £8,000. So it was a big payment, and straight away we were like, oh my God, what is going on? And
your minds and hearts must have been just racing at that point.
Well, we were, but we were also really confused. We were like, what has gone on?
At that point, did you still think that it was an error with the bank?
No, that when the larger payment came out, we were like, okay, this is not right. Because basically, I don't know if it's the same for every bank, but this bank has a two-step process. So if a payment to someone new comes out, you have to first of all, like, obviously do it online, and then they send you a text message to say, have you confirmed this? They send you a passcode and you say yes and blah blah blah. So the thing that raised the alarm bells was that John hadn't sent the text confirming it. So anyway, we rang the bank and they straight away were like, yes, you know, something has happened. And that was that. And, you know, there was nothing that we could do. Like they said, oh, we'll look into it, like give us some time to look into it. We might be able to recover the money if like we can find the person. So it was kind of a waiting game. But the one thing that they did say was that John had confirmed, they had a record to say that John had confirmed the text message saying, yes, that transaction's genuine.
So they had a record of John texting back.
So they had a record on the screen that John had sent it, and we were adamant that he hadn't sent it, and they were saying, you have sent it. And that was that for the next kind of few days. So then I got a call from somebody, like, it must have been about 5 days later, just saying, you know, we had actually, funnily enough, we had a tax bill that we had to pay at that point, and my grandpa had to help us, like, with the tax bill. We've obviously paid him back now.
That's the worst time of the year as well, isn't it? For you to just lose all your savings like that, just before Christmas.
Yeah, it was
like
awful.
Like you say, the time you've got to pay your tax.
It's just, it's such a weird feeling, like, being a victim of that kind of fraud, because, you know, you just feel really violated, like, in terms of, you know, it was just such a weird, and it just was just so awful, the fact that he'd, like, not that it would have made it better, but, like, the fact that he was speaking on to us on the phone and he was asking, like, how the kid, you know, like, what we were going to get the kids for Christmas.
Did John feel embarrassed?
He was. And he felt so guilty. Like, you know, John's a grown man, and he cried, like, a few times, like, because he was just, I think it was a bit of pride. It was embarrassment, because, like you say, it's really easy to say, oh, I would never have given two digits of my bank card passcode. That's, you never give your internet bank passcode.
Yeah.
But until it's you that's in that situation. So anyway, we rang back and forth, like, a lot over the, and the only thing that they said was, if there's a way of being able to prove that the texts weren't sent by you. So John went into Vodafone and got an itemised bill. This was about a week later, because firstly they were saying, we also looked at a lot of horror stories online, and so many, like, bad stories of people losing, like I think there was a guy that lost, like, 23,000 and never got it back. Oh. And just awful, like, really awful.
That's the worst thing you can do, though, is to read all those stories.
Yeah,
when you're in that situation.
And it was not looking good. And, like, our family kept saying, oh, you'll get the money back. But we were just reading these stories saying that, because we'd agreed to this text, it looked like we'd sent this text message back, that we weren't going to get it back. So anyway, John went into Vodafone and got an itemised bill. We had to send it off and blah, blah, blah. And eventually, must have been about 3 or 4 days before Christmas, like, this really nice man, like, there was, you know, like, you just always get one person that's obviously trying to help you.
Yeah.
And said that that we'd been able to prove it, because even with that proof, they were like, it's still, you know, it could have been anything. So he rang us back and said that, like, we, at the time, this was a really relatively new scam, because they're obviously always trying to find, there's probably a new one now, like, they're always trying to find new ways to be able to do these scams. And at the time, we were one of the first, I don't know if it was the first people with any bank, but yeah, we were one of the first people to be able to actually prove that the text hadn't come from us.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a weird thing, because surely anyone would think of going in to get an itemised bill and showing it. But yeah, we were like, this is what the guy said. He said we were one of the first people to be able to actually prove. So we got the money back.
It's amazing that you got the money back.
How did you feel
when you got the money back?
I burst into tears to the guy on the phone. I was in the middle of self-play with some friends. And yeah, I burst into tears, like, oh my God, thank goodness. Because it was just, so much money to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting though, because, like, hearing you talking about it and telling the story, obviously, you know, you're saying that, you know, John made a mistake when he gave the two digits of his internet passcode. The other mistake he made, not to make him feel even worse, is the fact that he rang the number in the text message.
Yes, exactly.
Because if he had obviously just rung the number that is on the internet banking website or on the back of his card, then they would have said to him, we haven't sent you any text message, and they probably would have, you know, done
straight
something
away. That's a really good lesson as well, because I must admit, I always just ring the number on the back of the card. I don't even weirdly, and since this, I don't even trust the number on the internet banking, just in case somehow someone's managed to.
It's funny though, isn't it, because you almost get to a point where you become so distrustful of everything that
it's
you
awful,
see.
It's awful, really. And I mean, I don't know if you're the same, like, I often get the odd, well, not often, but I'll get the odd call. Now I don't speak, like, I'm like, I'll ring you back.
That's,
like,
really good though. That's
because I'm so paranoid about it.
That's really good. And the advice, because I was reading up on the advice that Take 5 give to people who receive texts like this.
Yeah.
So they call it smishing.
That's exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you get an email, it's called phishing, PH, but SMS.
What does it even mean?
I guess they're phishing for details and phishing for information, aren't they?
Yeah.
But via SMS, so they call it smishing. So I'll just read out what the advice that they give, just in case anyone else, you know, might be in this situation who's listening. So they say a text might not be from who you think. Smishing is when criminals pretend that a message is from your bank or another organization you trust. So, for example, you might get a text that you think is from like your mobile phone provider or, you know, that kind of thing. They will usually tell you that there has been fraud on your account, and they will ask you to deal with it by calling a number or visiting a fake website to update your personal details.
A fake website.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the lengths that some of these scammers will go to.
Because it's almost like emails have been around a long time. So if I ever get an email from the bank now, I'm like, no.
Do you get emails quite a lot?
Normally emails from other banks that I'm not with. I'm like, yes, I'm actually not with NatWest, so that's weird.
And sometimes you can tell because like there's a slight spelling mistake on like the bank.
But I think they're getting so clever at that now as well. Yeah. Like, they do look genuine, I think.
I get quite a few from like PayPal that aren't actually from PayPal. Yeah. And it'll say click through.
And everything will be the same, like the footer of the email.
Yeah, it's really, really hard, I think, to tell. One really good thing to do if you get an email is to hover your mouse over the from, you know, like the little field where it says who it's from, and it will show up the actual email address that it's been sent from.
Because
when you send an email, it'll come up from Katie Ellison. Yeah. It won't come up with your actual email address. Mm-hmm. But if you hover over the Katie Ellison, your email address will show.
I never thought of doing that.
And so it shows up whether it's some really weird like Gmail or Hotmail or something.
You obviously know it's not going to be.
Exactly. So yeah, back to the advice from Take Five. They say that it's really important that you take a moment to stop and think and realise that this is the fraud. So three signs that a text message might not be genuine. John, if you're listening to this, this is what you should have done. Okay, so the three signs are, it asks you to provide sensitive personal or financial information, passwords, or to make transactions by following a link in the message. It asks you to call a certain number, but that number is unknown to you. Mm-hmm. In this case, call your bank on a number that you trust to check the number and the message is authentic, e.g. the number on the back of your card. And three, the sender uses an urgent tone, urging you to act now. Interestingly, it doesn't sound like the guy you spoke to had any urgency. More.
And what I find crazy is, I mean, like, maybe just because he's on the phone, he thinks, well, no one can... But, like, how... crazy to like, he was just so relaxed, like so calm, and you know, he was committing, like, you know, but you'll never know whether he was personally doing. I'm sure it's not just one guy sat in his bedroom doing it. It must be like a, you know, a big, you know, professional operation.
I have no idea.
It's just like, you know, was he, I just love to know who it was, like, you know, like he sounded such a like well-to-do, normal, nice person.
I guess that's part of the scam, though, isn't
it? Laughing, yeah.
That's part of it, is that, you know, they will do everything they can to make it sound
genuine. But he must have, you know, and also how, like, it can't happen all the time. So he must have been, like, adrenaline going, thinking, oh, this is actually working.
But in fact, if that's his job, it probably does happen all the time, doesn't it?
It's crazy.
So have you had any other kind of instances since then?
Where absolutely nothing.
Nothing by text?
No.
And do you think it sounds really like I'm your mum. Have you learned your lesson?
Yeah, definitely. But even, you know, even if John does get a text from the bank now that is genuine, we are really paranoid about it. So in a weird sort of way, it's kind of good it has happened because it has made us sort of kind of a bit more, well, not really, a bit more untrusting, which isn't very nice.
But. No. But you know, it's totally understandable. And one theme that has kind of come through in the months that I've kind of been working with Take Five is how busy mums are being targeted, or busy parents are being targeted.
Well, that's it, like at Christmas time when you're obviously rushed off your feet.
Exactly.
And you're...
I mean, how busy would you describe your and John's sort of day-to-day life? You've got three kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Things must be pretty
hectic.
But,
you know, they're so clever, aren't they? Because they did it, like, before Christmas. They did it at a time when, you know, whether you've got... I mean, they must have known we'd got kids, probably. Like, well, I don't know if they'd know that, but they knew quite a lot of information. But it's whether...
probably read your blog, Katie.
Yeah, I know, they probably do. Hi, if you're listening.
Follow you on Instagram.
It doesn't matter if we got our money back because they've still got our money. Like, you know, the bank's obviously...
Yeah, it's the bank's out of pocket.
I hope you're enjoying my savings. This is awful. Oh. But yeah, like, it has definitely made me think about sort of what information I give out and things now, but...
Yeah, so the key message is, no matter how busy you are, running around, you know, looking after the children, no matter what time of year it is and you feel that things are really hectic, if you get anything, whether it's a text message or an email or a phone call, and any alarm bells ring, it is so important just to step away and mm-hmm. take 5 minutes, just have a bit of a think.
And that's exactly it. You know, had John maybe been in a better frame of mind, he might not have done it, but... you know, he was dealing with the kids. It was 5:30. It was...
Yeah, that's not a good time of day for anyone.
No, exactly. If they'd called us at 7:30 when we had a glass of wine.
Different story. Yeah. Katie, thank you so much for chatting to me. That's appreciate you telling me about your experience. Big thank you for listening today. For more information on everything we talked about today and for more advice on avoiding scams, visit the Take 5 website at www.take5-stopfraud.org.uk. That's take5-stopfraud.org.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.